Session 183, August 30, 1965. The Early Sessions, Volume 4 of the Seth Material. Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth, I have told you that I had considered giving you a night off. Instead, we had an extra session. The experience was a good one for Rupert, since it served to give him additional and much-needed confidence. I attempted to give several definite characteristics that would serve to identify your Jesuit mother, and I believe that we succeeded. Rob note. Bill and Peggy Gallagher witnessed the unscheduled session, the 182nd, on Saturday, August 28. The Jesuit tag had come to be a standard one for Bill, and quite a humorous one, in Seth's view. During the session, Seth gave an accurate psychological account of Bill Gallagher's mother, according to Bill. She is now dead. Jane and I never met her. Bill has told us very little about her, other than that she was an arthritic cripple like Jane's mother is. Three points in particular were quite authentic, according to Bill. Seth stated that his mother was fascinated by numbers, loved the color blue, and was inordinately fond of flowers. After the session, Bill Gallagher told us his mother had been a bookkeeper, was buried wearing a blue dress, blue was her favorite color, and that she was indeed very fond of flowers. Seth, now, before we plunge into the nature and characteristics of dream reality, let us consider, briefly, the relationship between emotions, space, and distance as they occur within the waking conditions. An emotion, obviously, does not take up physical space, yet it takes up varying amounts of psychic space according to its intensity. It seems to recede in time and to shrink in psychic space as the intensity of it begins to diminish. An intensive emotion will represent the presence in time, a particular instance of now. Whenever circumstances tend to revitalize such a charged emotion, that particular now will be recreated. The emotion will once again rush into the psychic space, which is formed by elements in the personality's psychological environment. The immediate emotion of any moment, therefore, forms the framework of your present time within the waking state. As the emotion diminishes, it takes up less of your psychic space, fills up less of your inner environment, and you seem to yourself to recede from it. As far as distance, physical distance, is concerned, this whole idea is subconsciously taken into consideration. That which appears ahead of you in distance and has not yet been experienced, under usual circumstances, has not yet entered the psychic space or inner environment. When you reach this imaginary psychic experience, and if you are emotionally involved in it, then it becomes the present, in capital letters. The moment is remembered because the emotions experienced at the time almost completely fill the psychic space, forcing all other experiences out. The stronger the emotion, the more vivid the moment becomes, the more totally it is recalled. And even in future years, such past instances can be experienced as vividly as any present experience. In other words, to some large extent, such a strong emotion unites experience and knocks down the artificial barrier of past, present, and future. I will let you take your break. Seth, as we have often stated, inner experience is the only true dimension of existence. Because of the physical structure, experiences within your system have a slow motion distortion which creates the appearance of time. Time as you know it, waking time, is intimately connected with the emotions and with emotional intensities. Now, there is also a connection here that can be exploited most clearly by using color designations. Red is the most present or immediate of colors. The cool colors are more contemplative or more indicative of contemplation. They do not, however, have the same type of intensity. They leave room within psychic space for other emotional experiences also. There are electrical connotations here also that are important. Electrical components that compose the emotional experience and that tend to show themselves in certain auras of color. Within the dreaming state, however, inner experience is not limited as it is in the waking condition, so that the time barrier can be largely dispensed with. There is an additional psychic space to be filled. Rob notes, for some related material concerning time, intensities, and moment points, see the following sessions: 149, 150, 151, 152. Seth. Experiences are more directly felt, although the same sort of differences occur here as far as intensities are involved. In the dream state, as in the waking state, experiences vary in their intensity. There is, however, a more mobile element and an easier movement through experiences. Transitions are more rare in the dream state, since physical time lapses are not necessary. Spontaneity is more the rule. Images appear and disappear, for there is no necessity to construct them as continuous physical constructions. There is, therefore, greater opportunity for new creations. These dream experiences take up psychic space, as do waking experiences. Their intensity is immediately felt, however, without any reliance upon physical time. They are felt according to their intensity only. You might say, returning to our analogy, that there is more color mixing within the dream state, and the materials are immediately at hand. Distance is then seen in its true light, not in relation to physical space, but in its basic relationship to emotional intensity. As you seem in the waking condition to travel out of an experience, or as you seem to separate yourself from it, then physical time enters into your awareness. When you directly experience an emotional event, when you are at its heart, so to speak, then you do not seem to experience physical time. Only as you move to the outskirts of the experience does such time realization enter in. The dream experience, however, is always free of the realization of physical time, practically, for you experience dream events directly from the center of awareness. You move from the outskirts of one dream into the core of another without a change of intensity, and therefore without the sense of physical time passing. It goes without saying that a sense of time may or may not be interwoven in any given dream sequence. But you, as the dreamer, are not conscious of the physical hours that pass as you sleep. You may take a break. Seth, in the dream reality, you have the opportunity to work out solutions to problems within a larger framework in a psychic environment, where there is no immediate necessity for physical construction. This function is extremely important and represents one of the main ways in which problem solving is dealt with by the personality. This is also the reason why the plays of Shakespeare have endured the centuries. The dramas are not true to life in physical terms, but are true to life in psychic terms. The creative abilities have full rein within the dream state, and it is here that the personality first tests its creative intensities and methods. The personality's physical environment, therefore, is greatly colored and formed by his dream experience. There is some leakage from waking life experience to dream experience, but this leakage usually represents the material needed or the problem to be solved. Mental events and dream events are primary. The individual first manipulates situations within the dream reality and then transposes his characteristic method of handling them upon the physical reality. It is true, as Rupert has discovered, that these dream elements are interwound. Events are indeed clairvoyantly perceived in the dream state. On the other hand, in many instances, the sleeping personality solves a problem, and therefore causes the physical event because it is the result of the dream work involved. In many cases, he perceives in dream a future physical event, and then, within the dream situation, acts out various possible solutions, until he hits upon the most agreeable one. In the dream state, the personality actually has at its command a stupendous amount of subconscious information of which the ego is not aware. It is actually more practical, therefore, to seek the solution in the dreaming state, or in periods of dissociation, if you prefer. The amount of data available to the subconscious is simply superior in quality and larger in quantity than that available to the ego, and this information can be used effectively through suggestion. The subconscious in sleep has great freedom, and has at its command information gained through past experiences in this life and other lives. In the intense focus of awareness that occurs within the dream state, the inner self is able to direct all of its energies for the purpose of solving a given problem. It is possible to use all of its vast information gained through previous experience and all of its knowledge to solve the problem at hand. Literally, the whole inner personality is able to focus upon any given problem, completely free of distractions, using the subconscious language of symbols. This language is crisper in its fashion and more concise and more inclusive than any written language, for as we have explained, each symbol has various meanings to all layers of the self. Rob notes, among many others, see the 92nd, 93rd, and 94th session in Volume 3. Seth, computer-like, the data is instantly made available exactly when and where it is needed. The ego is indeed equipped to handle physical reality. Its purpose is the manipulation of the personality within the physical universe. Its more effective method of procedure, however, is to form the problem concisely and then to feed it to the subconscious before the personality enters the dreaming state. This requires, on the ego's part, an excellent ability to perceive correctly the elements of the physical situation, to express it in terms that the subconscious can understand, and to deliver the message properly. The subconscious will then break the physical data given to it down into its physical components, translate it into symbols, and the inner self, at the request of the subconscious, will then focus all of its energies at its command to deliver the most acceptable solution, taking the entire needs of the whole self into consideration. The solution, therefore, may not necessarily be accepted completely as the best solution by the ego. The ego is aware of the physical situation only in its relationship to itself. It is not aware of the internal situation. The solution, however, must be made in relation to the total conditions. It is extremely important, then, that the ego correctly interprets the physical situation, for this is the information that it will give to the computer, so to speak. You may take a break or you may end the session. Rob, we'll take a short break. During the break, Jane mentioned that Seth had not yet discussed my vision, noted on page 223, nor had I given her the test envelope. I had discovered that I was reluctant to break into the material when it was going so well, and when Jane gave such an indication of involvement with it. I thought it might introduce an alien note, and also that it might interfere with the results of the test itself. I did not mention the envelope, and in view of the late hour, decided to forget about it for this evening. Jane began speaking while sitting cross-legged on the bed. Her eyes opened again shortly after she began. She was smoking and her voice was quiet and fast. Resume at 10:33. Seth, I have several points to make here. We cannot cover everything I had in mind for this evening, or this session would run well over its ordinary allotted time. To follow the above material, let us emphasize the importance here of a clear, honest, perceptive intellect, for it is largely upon the intellect that the ego depends. The intellect collects from the physical environment those situations and conditions which affect or will affect the ego. The intellect chooses, from the total physical situation, those elements with which the personality will ultimately have to deal. The intellect is discriminating and selective. An ego that is overly rigid will inhibit the intellect from perceiving various portions of physical reality, and therefore distort the appearance of reality, limiting the intellect's abilities. Necessary and vital information is not, therefore, collected. The problem is not seen in any total light, but in a distorted manner. This distorted picture is then delivered to the subconscious, which is able to make some corrections. It still cannot view the physical situation as clearly as can the ego under best conditions. When the ego is of such rigid nature that it distorts physical reality out of all context, then, however, the personality had better rely upon the subconscious even in this respect. For the subconscious will at least perceive those elements of physical reality that immediately threaten the whole self. This material this evening will be extremely useful and practical to you both. We will discuss it more thoroughly in another session. A very brief word here concerning your mark. Putting up with him will not seem a chore if you realize that psychic energy is not only being used when you do so, but, within reason, when you do so unresentfully, you are gaining psychic energies through inner reactions. Rob notes, Mark is Bill McDonald's entity name. Seth, the very act of dealing with him kindly utilizes your own abilities in many ways, stretches the limitations of your sympathy and understanding and of your experience, yes. But in so doing, you become stronger and better able to deal with your fellow human beings in general, with benefits to all. I am not speaking of overdoing this, as you understand. There is an analogy here, perhaps not flattering to Mark, but I do not mean it unkindly. Are your hands tired? Seth, you recall that I told you animals relied upon the psychic energy of their owners. So do weaker personalities to some extent rely upon stronger ones. Now this could result in a draining of available energies, but when this occurs, it is only because you are not as strong as usual. When energy is withdrawn for this reason, the individual who is used to relying upon it will feel bewildered and resentful, and abandoned without knowing the reason. The use of energy in such a way does not, however, and should not ordinarily drain you. To the contrary, again within reason, it should invigorate you, allow you to draw upon additional energy, and give you practical experience in doing so. I say to you within reason, but if your abilities are fully developed, I would not have to use that phrase, for you would be so renewed in any encounter that no such question would arise. The you does not necessarily apply to you, Joseph. I will give you a few sentences concerning your vision, or you may take a break, or I will save it for the beginning of our next session. Rob, you can continue. He says, see my notes on page 223. Seth, the man was an acquaintance of yours in a life many centuries ago. He no longer experiences earthly or physical existence. I know of him. I do not know him. He was a teacher and is one now. He was a relative when Rupert was Seth. He knows of our relationship and was curious. Rob notes, the very first sessions dealt a good deal with reincarnation. Jane and me did not ask for this kind of data. It just came that way through the Ouija board, and we accepted it at face value. Frank Watts, it will be remembered, was our communicator. The present Seth entity did not announce his presence until the fourth session, when he superseded Frank Watts. In the third session, December 6, 1963, Frank Watts told Jane and me that we had lived lives in Mesopotamia, our first in the 4th century B.C. Frank Watts and I were females. Jane was a male, our brother, and his name was Seth. In the 54th session, Seth went into considerable detail in explaining the construction of entities. He could not give us this information earlier, he said, because we would have leaped to the conclusion that he was Rupert, Jane's subconscious mind, and this is not so. As everything else does, entities constantly change. To quote Seth, Rupert is not myself now. In his present life, he is nevertheless an extension and a materialization of the Seth that I was at one time. He grew, evolved, and expanded in terms of a particular personal set of value fulfillments. He is now an actual gestalt, a personality. That was one of the probable personalities into which Seth could grow. I represent another. I am another. Seth then continued to explain how I am also an offshoot of that early Seth entity. Thus, Jane, myself, and our present communicator, Seth, are related psychically. It is this that makes our sessions possible, according to Seth. Seth, I will now end an excellent, rather lengthy session. I do suggest that you study this material carefully this evening. Do you have no tests for me? Reader notes. At this point, Rob notes that he handed the envelope test to Jane, followed by notes of the test, which were skipped.